into the 80s and to the early 90s, you would see that most of the churches had their women covering their head with either a scarf or a hat or beret. Not even most, all the women. In fact, if you see, if they give an altar call and people should come out to be saved, that is an unbeliever. She already has a scarf. That is, she believes that when you are coming to God's presence, you must put something on your head or God will just cut off the head or something. So, if you go to four churches like that, and you now go to a fifth one that is like here this morning, where people are dressed the way they want, not badly. I mean, some of you have head ties, some of you will not. Ladies now. Or pardon me, you now see some ladies in trousers. You now feel like, wow, this cannot be a church because I've gone to four different places where they do otherwise. So when you now go to that lady who has trousers or probably has a makeup, and then you turn to her, you say, well, you call yourself a Christian. You know, because you believe that a Christian must not dress like that or wear makeup. Now today it's different because most of our churches really do not have those kind of traditions, as it were. But that doesn't change the fact that people hardly know why they don't do what they're doing. So if another wave should come, and that wave should say, thou shalt not drink coke, you just see majority of people say, well, coke is a sin. Not because they have been taught in the Word of God, but because oftentimes, because we are breeding a lot of lazy Christians today, who don't examine the Bible. They don't even bother to know what they are. They know some scriptures, not because they've read it, but because somebody has mentioned it severally, so they can know. For instance, was it this service? I told you how I took up somebody who posted something on Facebook and he said, think big. There's nothing wrong in thinking big. It's your choice. It's your mind. So he quoted Proverbs 23 verse 7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I said, did you bother to read that scripture? He didn't bother to read that scripture because that scripture is actually negative. Talking about the hidden thoughts of men, you know, where they say something and they mean something else. That's what the scripture was saying. So for the first time, he bothered to read the scripture and found that it was contrary to what he was trying to say. But you see, that's the way we are. Most people are. They just subsume themselves under thoughts that they have never checked out whether they are in line with the scriptures. And that goes with us too. And when you are not establishing God's word, it's very easy to move from pillar to post. Ephesians 4:11 says Jesus gave gifts set up on high. Ephesians 4:7 says we have all received the measure of the gift of Christ. And it says he ascended on high and led captivity captive, verse 8, verse 9, verse 10. He descended first to the lower parts of the earth, then he ascended, then he gave gifts unto men that he might fill all things. Verse 11 now tells us that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. He says, for the perfection of the saints, verse 12, Ephesians 4, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now verse 13 says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, to the full knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I love verse 14. I love to always emphasize that verse 14. Please read it if you have a Bible. You should have a Bible. It says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Be no more children. Ephesians 4:14. That we be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. That word doctrine is teaching. Every wind of doctrine. And oftentimes, doctrine involves instructions and commandments. Every wind of instruction, every wind of doctrine. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. And the sleight and cunning craftiness of men whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, how many of you have ever been tossed to and fro before? I have been. Don't know about you. I've been born again for close to 2.5 decades. So I should tell you that I have been tossed to and fro before. You know, I used to believe that when a woman makes her hair, you know, what we call Jerry calls her hair, she's committing a sin. So I've been tossed to and fro. And until I began to receive God's word, then I couldn't know which one was right, which one was wrong. And of course, because we have denominations, we tend to believe that God allows denominations. That is, some people can just believe something, and God allows them to be like that. We think that God, you know, the church of God is good when some people believe in clapping, some people believe in dancing, some believe in instruments, some believe, but the most important thing is that we are one. You know, very, very funny, you know, ways of looking at things. But have you bothered to look at what the scriptures teach about these things? What the scriptures teach about these things? I showed you in this church before that clapping of hands in the service was devised by men to praise God. It's not found in the Bible, but it's devised by men today. It's not found in the Bible. When you read the Bible very well, clapping of hands was used to mock people, and you will not find it in the New Testament at all. But you see, we are doing it, and people believe it's a scriptural practice, but it's not. I've taught you from here. It's just that we've come to believe that that's the way the church should praise God, but God never in His Word spoke of that. But we just believe it. Well, everybody's doing it. Since everybody's doing it, it has to be correct. Since everybody's doing it, it has to be right. But that's not true. Everybody can be wrong. Most people can be wrong. Pardon me. You know, it doesn't make the majority right. You look at the Bible very well, there are 7 times majority were wrong. In fact, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15, when the issue of Gentile salvation came up, majority moved against Paul and Barnabas. Majority didn't understand what they were teaching. But it took a while. Then they argued back and forth and from the scriptures and Peter's experience. They said, alright, now we agree. So majority doesn't have to be right, wrong. Right at the first instance. So don't ever be the majority kind of person. Always be the scripture teachers kind of person. Am I saying something to you this morning? Are we together this morning? And also as a Christian, give yourself to study. Give yourself to what? Study. How many of you will, for instance, rely on the words of a friend of yours in class as touching a subject to pass an exam? You go and read. Am I not right? Oh, my friend said 2 plus 2 is 16. I believe my friend. Or most of the people I've spoken with in class said 2 plus 2 is 16. They have to be correct. Because, I mean, this is most of the class. They got to be right. And you know that. Of course, you will be wrong. Because you've not bothered to check the multiplication table yourself. The authentic multiplication table to find out. But you say, but everybody, have you not done a test in class before? That everybody missed or got the question wrong? Has that happened before? Everybody got it wrong. Everybody missed that particular question. Sometimes interpretation, sometimes the way, you know, so you shouldn't now come to the faith of Jesus Christ. I believe that well because most people say something, it has to be right. And oftentimes, like I said, you know, I've said in this teaching, people will now place a burden on your mind, on your conscience. And they call you, you think you're a Christian like that? You think you're a Christian? And because you've not bothered to find out what the Bible teaches along those lines. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Amen. Peter writes and says, as free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Say, we are free. As free, and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as a servant of God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Have you called unto what? Good. Not only use not liberty as a question to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So we have been called unto liberty. Say we have been called unto liberty. John chapter 8 verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, I've had a lot of interpretation of this verse. You say it's the truth that you know at a particular point in time. You know what? People just try to be very comic and comedy-like with the Bible. I just let them, I love sometimes to listen to some people talk because it makes me laugh. Because oftentimes when you don't read things properly, it's a bad reading culture. Where you leave things out of context and not read what it was saying before, what said after. Where you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, then I asked him, what do you mean you shall be made free? What do they mean? He explained to them in verse 36, if the Son, hallelujah, therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what is the truth in verse 32? The Son. Amen. The truth is the Son. Because John 14:6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So the truth is not a set of facts. The truth is a person. Ephesians 4:21 says, Jesus is, the truth is in Christ Jesus. He is the word of truth. He is the truth. So when we know Jesus, we are free. So Galatians chapter 5 verse 1 tells us, therefore, we should stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ the truth has made us free, and not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Say with me, the truth is a person. Say it again, the truth is a person. So when we receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, we receive the truth, the person of Jesus, and then we are free. Let me go over what salvation is again. See, so in case somebody brings to you and says, you think you're a Christian like this? A Christian is so called because he has believed in Jesus only. Not in a church doctrine, not in a church dogma, not in a church creed. Now, for instance, in this church, we have our own style of doing things. We have some things that we do, you know, here. I'll tell you one of those things. For instance, we start our services by 7:30 in the morning. That's a style. You will not find the Bible says, and thou shalt start the service at 7:30. Are we together? We'll sit on chairs. Plastic chairs for now. You know the Bible says, if you don't sit on chairs, you are not born again. But we do that. But Saul now comes and says, I won't sit on chairs in church. You say, why? He say, I don't want to. I want to stand throughout. And we say, and you call yourself a Christian. How does that have to do with it being a Christian or not? Being a Christian is one who has received the gospel of Jesus. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the clothes that we wear in our service, for it is the power of God unto salvation. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because that is the power of God unto salvation. Write this down if you're writing. Things don't save, only Jesus does. You like? Change the way you dress. If you like, change the clothes you wear. If you like, change your hairstyle. If you like, change the church you attend. If you like, change the kind of books you read. If you like, change everything. But you see, until you believe the gospel, you are not saved. Because salvation is not of works. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved. He says, through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man boast, not of your own selves. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:9. Bible says, not of works. Not of works. But God has chosen, you know, to save us by grace that is in Christ Jesus. Titus 3:5. Not of the works of righteousness which we have done. Romans 5:8, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:19, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not bringing their trespasses again unto them. So salvation doesn't come by things, by observance of things, or abstaining from things. Salvation comes by believing in the gospel of Christ. Romans 10:8. What it is? The word is nigh thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we preach. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised him from the dead, then God will look down from heaven and consider whether you can be saved. Is that what he says? Nope. Thou shalt be saved. That means you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved. Verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The jailer called unto Paul in Acts 16 verse 30. And he says, what must I do to be saved? You ask that kind of question in many places today, they will say, join our church. What must I do to be saved? They will say, well, you have to stop all those bad things that you follow. What must I do to be saved? They will have said, you know what? You got to pay your tithes regularly. What must I do to be saved? You know what? You see, since you saw the guy in a drinking bar, and I said, you have to stop this alcohol, stop this thing, you can't take star, you can't do this, you have to drop the cigarette, drop this and drop this and come to Jesus. No. When he asked Saul, Paul, and then Silas, men and brethren, sirs, pardon me, what must I do to be saved? Paul answered, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. That's all. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And there's so many false gospels out there. You'll find Christ plus tithes. Christ plus offering. Christ plus holiness. Christ plus sanctification. Christ plus baptism of the Holy Spirit, as they call it. Christ plus this. Every Christ plus teaching is a false teaching. Because Christ is everything. The minute you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. There is no but, ands, or ifs. The minute you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Mark 16:15. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. That's all. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And since things did not get you saved, since things were not a condition for salvation, things cannot unsave you. Now, I'm not shy or reserved to say what I just said. Because salvation is an eternal concept in God. Hebrews 7:25 says he's able to save you forever when you come to him by Jesus. Hebrews 5:9 says that Jesus has given to us eternal salvation. John 3:16, we receive eternal life. Hallelujah. We're saved forever. If you are saved, you are saved forever. John 10:28. Whoever comes to God, whoever Jesus Christ or are saved, Jesus says, whoever that the Father has given to him, he gives to them eternal life and they can never perish. He said, no one can snatch them out of my hands. Same in verse 29. The Father is greater than all. Says, no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. They can never perish. Amen. John 5:24. You can never again come to judgment. So, salvation is forever. 1 John 2:2. We have an advocate with the Father, verse 1, Jesus the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins and for the whole world. Amen. Amen. Are we there? So, it's clear in the scriptures, things did not get you saved, things cannot unsave you. You didn't get saved by not wearing a cloth or wearing another, so doing or not doing that does not unsave a man. People paint a picture about God who looks more like Boko Haram. It's you where you least expect it. You know, you don't think God just strikes us, he looks at you, says, eh? Sir, come here. What do you think you are wearing? Sir? Just from heaven. He just focuses on one man. And throws dynamite. Goa. And the guy dies. Why did he die? Say, God is angry. Angry about clothes. Yes. Sir, who made the clothes? God did. He's angry at his clothes and the person wearing the clothes. Something like that. That's a very, very wrong impression about God. So salvation only comes to people when they believe in Jesus. Romans 14 verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, not in food, not in what you take in or you don't take. The kingdom of God is not in that. It's in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Said amen. Colossians 2 now, verse 16. I think I sang you one song last week. We used to sing back then. When, you know, in those days, it's today people are free. You don't wear a Christian, one of the clothes a Christian does not wear is called jeans. You don't wear jeans. You don't wear jeans. The popular jeans back, I don't know whether some of you were around then. How many of you met city jeans? Nobody knows city jeans. Yeah. You don't know city jeans? Very young. City jeans was the... That brother is wearing jeans. He's even wearing city jeans. You say, And they are praying for you. We even had a song. Keep on wearing your... I've not said it for you before. Keep on palming your hair. Sister Jesus is coming back again. Praise the worshipful. And then you see tracks. Have you seen some tracks before that? They'll show people born in hell because they wore a ring. You seen it before? So you now give altar call. If you are here and you want to give it all to Jesus, you want to surrender all? Devil will come. Put off their earrings. Take the whole world and give me Jesus. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. You take the whole world and give me Jesus. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. You see, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Think that's salvation? Follow him to where? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Turning back. See, the world behind me, the cross before me. That shows you are not saved. Because you ought to have left the cross to go into the world. They go into all the world. Amen. Jesus prayed, he said, don't take them out of the world, keep them in the world. You are saying, the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me. You're just lying. Because you leave church and you go and enter a car even if you don't have a car. Is that not the world? That's religion. That's what it does to you. You don't think. I told you Jesus washed away your sins, not your brain. All things passed away, not including your mind. Colossians 2 now. Come on, look at this. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, that's what food, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, of the new moon, or the Sabbath days. Let nobody judge you in eating and drinking, which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. That's talking about the communion table that we call today, and the Passover meals, and all the Jewish feasts. Now look at 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels and entering of those things which you have not seen, barely puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourished, ministered, and knit together, increasing with the increase of God. Look at 20. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Let's take verse 21 together. Let's go. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Verse 22, which are all to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. See that? Touch not, taste not, handle not. These are commandments of men. And they have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with your salvation. Nothing. But you see, people, that's what people base on. That's what they focus on. Somebody here is born again. How do you know she's born again? Can't you see her? She doesn't wear her rings again. She doesn't make her hair. She's born again. How is that born again? No. Taste, touch, not taste, not handle, not. And those are the things that people will come to you for and bring a condemnation against you. 1 John 3:19-21 now tells you, hold this, because I've told you before, your conscience is based on knowledge. Sometimes you feel bad about something, not because the thing is bad, it's because you thought it was bad. Now I'm not talking about sin. And say, I thought fornication was bad. But now, I thank God, I don't feel bad again. You're not a Christian. I'm not talking about sin. I thought lying was, scoping people was bad. So I should feel bad. But now, I don't feel bad. There's therefore now no condemnation to me because I'm in Christ. You should start feeling bad because you're going to hell. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about things. Sometimes you feel something is wrong. I used to, back in the days, I wore a shirt, I think I mentioned in this particular series, that they had, I think, a popular musician on it. And I was feeling bad from the time that that shirt was bought for me, when I was going to wear it, I said, oh, I like it now. So I wore it. I was feeling very bad because that musician was told to us, carry the mark 666. So if you have 666 and you're wearing a shirt, that means you have 666 on your shirt. Then it may, then spiritually, they can put the 666 in your blood and it'll come out in your body. I don't know how that will happen, but that's what I thought. So I was feeling bad. Not because the shirt was wrong, but I'd been taught wrongly. Some things are like that, that we feel are bad. So on our minds, whenever we do them or touch them, we feel God is angry. Not because we are not feeling bad. We are feeling bad. Our conscience are pricking us. But the reality is that we're taught wrong. The Bible says, if your heart to condemn you. Amen. I said amen. Look at that. If your heart should condemn you. 1 John chapter 3. Look at this. If your heart. It says, and hereby we know that we are of the truth. And shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Say, God is greater than my heart. Say that better, God is greater than my heart. God is greater than our heart. He's bigger than our heart. His word is greater than our heart. When I was in school, we had this sardine, I think, seafood. And they preached from the pulpit that seafood came from mermaids. I don't know how people can reason like that. But that was how our leader said it. And they particularly pointed out one particular canned food. Some of you probably don't know what I'm saying here. Queen of the coast. Some of you have seen it before. And they said, Queen of the coast, if you eat it, you'll be initiated into that club of coastline people. She already has 666. So if you eat our food, you have 666. So every time I saw that, then my mom now bought it for us. She said, what's it? That's what I have money for. That's what I'm going to buy. I don't want to take to school. I probably had a scripture, obey your parents. Because I like the Queen of the Coast. But the point is, when I was eating it, I was feeling bad. I'm a risk taker. Well, I was taking it too. But you see, if our heart condemns us, the Bible says God is greater. Matthew chapter 15. verse 3. Verse 2. Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. They wash not their hands when they eat bread. And Jesus told them some important truths you have to know. Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? Traditions can outdo God's word. Can annul the effect of the word of God. So why do you? And then told them, look at verse 8. This people is, quoting from Isaiah, he says, this people draw near unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain things, that's the word vain, do they worship me. Vain things, natural things, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain things. There are so many people like that. They worship God with things. With clothes. With not wearing makeup. With not eating something. With not drinking something. You think they are worshiping God that way? With things. He says they worship me with vain things. Say, but their heart is far. Look at verse 11. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man. Not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man. But that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Have some folks like that. They look so pious. Hey! You look at them and you say, ah! If the angel was not an angel of God, and he sees this kind of woman, he'll say, ah! Are you sure this is not the person God sent me to? That she's favored of God. She'll conceive the Messiah. This one is favored though. She's pious. She's looking. Then, you know, just do something. Offend the lady. She'll say. She's not saying anything yet. The kind of curse that will come out of her. You'll say, huh? So they're just a masquerade. The real person has come out. See, so it's not what comes into a man. It's what goes out of the man. Now, look at verse 18. Let me take verse 17. Do you not yet understand that whatever enters in at the mouth goes where? To the stomach, and it is cast into the drought. That is, whatever you eat goes to the toilet. Praise God. Isn't that true? Whatever you eat, that is, this is biological. We'll talk about biology later. This is biological. Whatever you eat goes to the toilet. That's where it goes to. It goes into your belly. I mean, Jesus was not a biologist, but if some of you are doctors, tell us, they say it goes to the esophagus, right? And it goes to where? Alimentary canal. That's the last stage. Huh? That's the canal that goes down. I forgot now. It's been years I did biology. Almost 20 years. Now, from there, then it goes there, but at the end of it, it goes around the body. Those of you who are fat know what I'm talking about, goes around the body. Then it comes out. You know, Jesus cannot tell you the details of that. Amen. Alright, you should know that. Verse 18. He says, so what's the big deal? Eh? They were stunned. But he says in verse 18, but those things we possess out of the mouth comes from where? The heart. And they defile the man. Can you see the distinction? So it comes from the heart that defiles the man. 19. For out of the heart proceeds what? Evil thoughts, murders, adultery, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies, they don't come from things, they come from the heart. Verse 20, for these are the things which defile a man, and to eat with unwashing hands defiles not a man. Praise the Lord. So whether it's food or wine, that's not what defiles a man. Not the food he eats, not the wine he takes. But Pastor, yes. We'll talk about that. The alcohol comes into your body, where does it go? To your digestive system, right? So whatever it does there, just like Jesus said, the food goes through the drought, just may go to your liver and anoint it, empower it, color it, and then not just the food goes to the drought, you follow. That's biology. Amen. That's not doctrine. Somebody follow me here now. You're quiet. Because you seem not to understand what I just said. There's nothing God has created that is not good. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 24 and 26 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 24 and verse 26. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness. 1 Corinthians 10, 24 and 26. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. 1 Timothy 4, 4. Everything that God has created is good and nothing to be refused. Receive it with thanksgiving. Everything God has created is good and nothing to be refused. So we begin to look at health issues now, and by discovery and by what has happened to the earth that God created, some things are not good for food, some things, excess of them are not good. Sugar has excess, it's not good. Alcohol, when it's in excess, is not good. Not alcohol, but alcohol in excess. Because alcohol is in several things that we take that is not necessarily beer. Amen. It's in our bread. Is that not true? And those of you who like to prepare cake, is there alcohol in cake? Isn't cake? I think there's a hint of alcohol in chewing gums throughout. So there's alcohol. The excess of sugar is wrong. Excess of salt, you know, all those things in excess will be wrong. But everything that God has created, the Bible says is good. Amen. So it's, you now begin to speak about health issues. But you see, I'm a preacher. I'm not a doctor. I have no right to begin to speak about natural things and their health relations, relativity to people. I won't do that. Paul writes to Timothy, 1 Timothy 5:22. He says, write it as a personal letter. He says, take no longer water only, but wine for thy often infirmities. Now, that's not a scriptural teaching. That's not a doctrine in the Bible. That is, just like if I'm writing to one of our pastors now, who maybe a pastor in Abuja, and I say, well, teach this, teach that, teach that. And I say, well, you know what? Last time we discussed, you told me you had this running stomach all the time. Well, I think you should reduce the kind of water you take and then, you know, start to, maybe take some juice. I didn't say wine, I said juice. Some juice, full man. And then I say, praise God. For the Holy Spirit said, thou shalt not take water alone, but full man. No. I always mention that personal discussion amongst many doctrinal explanations and expositions I give to him. So I mustn't go. That's why when I see pastors leave their own work to start talking like businessmen, I'm a businessman myself. I can teach you business, ethics of business. I've done several investments across the nations. I've traveled wide also in business ventures. But I don't come to the pulpit to talk about that. That would be a wrong place. If you're a doctor too, don't bring in your doctoral or medical skills in teaching. No. that will be crossing the boundaries of the privilege you are given. Because some people, you know, there was a time they told us, water, keep taking water, it makes you healthy. So what a scientist now said, excessive water. So they are all confused because the earth is confused. Excessive water. I was even told that there's a stage of cancer that they will recommend tobacco. They will load the system with nicotine. Now, if you have a Christian brother, you say, no way! Yeah, I don't want to miss heaven. They let him go. Let him go. Amen. Want to stay alive? Load your system with nicotine. But doctors will now tell you side effects. Have we? If you see skin rashes, or you see excessive pimples even on your hair strands, don't be afraid. It's a healing process. But that's not a pastor's job. Amen. That's a medical job. But the truth is, whatever God has created is good. So our liberty in Christ lets us know that there's nothing we cannot eat. And there's nothing we cannot drink. But that liberty also brings into notice medical things. Just like Paul writes to Timothy, take no longer water only. He brings in medical things. A liberty in Christ shows that there's nothing that makes us unclean when we eat it or drink it or take it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Romans 14, please look at this. Romans 14, verse 14. I know, and I'm persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing. Someone say nothing. Someone say nothing. Nothing, Romans 14, 14, unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to that one, it is unclean. Nothing. Okay? Now, our liberty in Christ, like I started explaining last week, is not a license to live anyhow. To act anyhow. No. I've established the fact to you that there's nothing wrong with the things. There's nothing unclean about the things. If you take alcohol, you know, even things like medical drugs, they tell us they have side effects. You know that? Medical drugs, sometimes they make you drowsy. Sometimes they shut down your system. So, really, you see, there's nothing unclean of itself. Nothing. Alcohol, so say, if I see somebody who, you know, if you see a brother, for instance, who needs a stick of cigarettes, oh, my God! Hey, Satan has entered his heart. Say, why? Are you now saying, Pastor, that every believer should be taking cigarettes? So you said. People often tell you what you've never said. You have said, I said it. Because you need to know what is in your heart more than you. I didn't say that. But I said, everything that God has created is good. Do we have abuse of those things? Sure we do. Now watch this. A liberty in Christ is not an excuse or a license to act without caution. Now write this down. And this is it. I explained this last week. Love is knowledge umpire. Love is knowledge umpire. Love for others is an umpire for knowledge. You know why you won't Now, I told you before, I told you last week, I have never, save when I was young, in 1981 or so, 82, I can't remember the year. 81 or 82. I cannot remember, or I've never, pardon me, taken alcohol. I tried cigarette one day, I think of 1985 or 86. The Malam, I was keeping our house, the guard, finished a stick of cigarette. So I tried to say, what's this stuff that people always put in their mouth? So I discovered that my brain was coming out. So I said, no go area. The only time I think I took something close to that was in secondary school where some folks were being naughty. And then I slept off. So they put wrapped paper in my mouth and then lit the fire. But I got them on time because I was also part of that gang. But that was it. You know? But had I known this for a while? Yes, I have. There is nothing sinful about alcohol. Nothing. But I don't take it, and I won't. I won't. For very many reasons. Part of which is scripture I'm going to show you in a moment. Love is the umpire for knowledge. You know so much. Okay? And then that knowledge is the only basis for your actions. Oftentimes, you will stray into the flesh. You will start to use that knowledge to satisfy your own appetite. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:16. Some things we have said this morning, if they hear it in some quarters, they'll say, have you heard about this church where they all smoke and they drink? I know that doesn't. Have you heard about that church? Serious word. Verse 16. I take wine every Sunday. I missed last Sunday because of rain. So I took it, I did a restitution on Wednesday. I mean red wine, but non-alcoholic. Red wine because it's color red. Praise the Lord. Because my doctors told me it's good for the heart. Besides that, really, I like it. That's the truth. I'm just looking for an excuse to call the doctor. I like it. They banned me from Coke because the kind of soft drinks I've taken is enough to create a factory. I used to take 4 or 5 bottles a day. So one day, since I didn't listen to the spirit, didn't listen to the soul, even the body, I didn't listen to it. But one day I was in the toilet, I looked back, and I saw that there was a blood transfusion from my system to the bathroom basin. That's scary because I wasn't supposed to shed blood. So I called the doctor and he said, well, that's the effect of sugar intake. So next time I saw Coke, I said, God is good. All the time. Amen. Is Coke evil? No. Are we together? So get that right now. I learned that there's some caffeine in Coke. You know what caffeine is? You know, you take coffee? It's a stimulant, just like cocaine. You don't know? You're on drugs, man. Verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. That word there is evil. To do evil things. But as a servant of God. Don't use that liberty to now do all sorts of things. I don't care what anybody thinks. I like this and so be it. Something is wrong with you. That's unchristian. Galatians 5:13. Are you following this one? Come on guys, are you following me? Galatians 5:13. For brethren, we have been called unto liberty, but do not use this liberty. Who has the amplifier here? Oh, I forgot my amplifier. Amplified translation. Do not use. You have Amplified? Let me your translation. I have some. Do not use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love. Thank you, my dear. Let me read this version to you. But brethren, I love this. You are indeed called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom be an incentive to your flesh. Incentive to your flesh. And an opportunity or excuse for selfishness. But through love, you serve one another. Not an opportunity to serve yourself. To behave anyhow. He says no. Knowledge has an umpire. What's that umpire? Love. What's that umpire? Love. That knowledge should allow us to serve others. Now we're going to read 1 Corinthians 10. That's where the key here in this teaching is. 1 Corinthians 10. So nothing is unclean. Are we right on that? Hey, let me see. Everybody, let me see your hand. Are we together on that? Raise your hand if you understand. There's nothing on clean. Don't say, yeah. We were talking yesterday and we were talking about children cartoons. Yesterday I was trying to download some games to my son on my iPad, so I was trying to get some games. I saw some things, they didn't look like games again. Serious things that were suggestive. I was just moving the thing, you know, before the boy would see. I'm not saying he will see it eventually in life, but it should not be through his dad. Amen. You know, so I just moved the thing. So we're talking yesterday and we're trying to look at the kids' television. I said, some of them are corrupted. And we discovered that even the sinless children's television had a bit of yoga in the things they teach the children. Had a bit of yoga. So we said, hand these folks right when they call TV devil's box, really? Let's re-examine that doctrine. TV really can be devil's box. There's nothing wrong in television. But you and I know that majority of the problem you have now as touching temptation came from TV. Who agrees with me? So, if it's called devil's box, don't be quick to judge that statement. Yes? So, now would you say TV is evil? No. Because at least you watch news on TV. You watch your favorite club on TV. You can watch Living Word telecast on TV. The Word. Amen. But you know that that's not all you can watch on television. So everything must have cautious use. Or no use at all. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me. But not all things are needful. I love this statement. This is the key to knowledge. All things are lawful, but not all things are needful. That's the word expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Can you see this? All things are lawful. There's nothing wrong with them. But are all things helpful? Huh? That's the point. Are all things helpful? No. Let me have that version again. Thank you. How much do I pay you? I've been using this the second time. Okay. He says, all things are legitimate. I like this. Permissible. We are free to do anything that we please. Here you are. But not all things are helpful, expedient, profitable, or wholesome. All things are legitimate. But not all things are constructive and edify the spiritual life. If you have a note you are writing, just put Amplified Translation. Go and check it. Not all things help. Not all, you know, even to you, not all things will be helpful. And I talk about sugar now, talk about alcohol, not all things will be helpful. Even to you. Now, even to others, not all things are helpful. Amen. Are we following this? Not all things will help. That's the key. It's not an illegitimate thing, but is it going to help? Can you do without it? Yes, you can. Is he edifying somebody else? No. Won't you do without it? I can. The minute you choose not to edify, you're walking in the flesh. That's why Paul spoke about tongues in 1 Corinthians 14. And it says, he that speaks in tongues edifies himself. But when you prophesy, you edify the church. Verse 5, 1 Corinthians 14. Greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks in tongues, except he interprets to edify the church. You must edify the church. Verse 16 and 17, the same thing. Edify the church. Let all things be done to edification. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. All things must be done to edification, to comfort, to help others. Ephesians 4, 11. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So this is where love comes in. Love is that umpire that makes you edify. Would it help? You know, a minister in London years back, a very popular minister, had this knowledge just like you do now. So, he used to take alcohol and he used to say cigar. He used to do that. And he said, well, there's no scripture against it. And he was right. But you know what? Not long, the young man in the church threw caution to the wind. And I began to live rancorously terrible lifestyles. Drinking. Of course, oftentimes will lead to womanizing. Staying late at night. Clubbing. The young man in the church. The very popular minister, I don't want to mention the name, but very, one of the greatest preachers of all time. He regretted it. They lost their youth ministry because of that. The parents were really bitter. Oh no. Oh no. Would he have done without it? Sure. Why did he do without it? Maybe selfishness. Love for self. Love for appetite. Maybe I'm not judging. Love is the umpire for knowledge. Romans 14. We live in a society, for instance, in Nigeria, where even the president will not want to take beer in public. You understand what I'm saying? So why would a preacher, why would he? What would be the point? What would be the motivation? Is that how he's going to reach the nations? Of course not. Now I know there are some nations where alcohol is accepted as a way of using it. But there are some that is not. But I am a preacher of the gospel to every nation. So I make myself a servant for all. I will not consider my appetites and what I want above the lives of other people. Let me see if you're following me this morning. Are you there? Good. See this now. Romans 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eats herbs. Let not him that eat despise him that eat not. Let not he that eats not judge not him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judges another man's servant? For his own master, to his own master he stands or falls. Yea, you shall be old enough, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. Amen. That is talking about things, not about doctrinal issues. His own mind. Things. Physical things. He that regards the day regards unto the Lord. He that regards it not the day to the Lord does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, but he gives God thanks. He that eats not to the Lord, he eats not and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Whether we live or we live unto the Lord, whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. Praise the Lord. For to this end Christ died and rose and revived, and may be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you judge thy brother? Why do you set up not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment of Christ. For it's written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Verse 13. Now watch this. Let us not therefore judge another anymore. One another. But judge this rather, that no man should what? Put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Can you see that? Don't make your brother fall. I know I'm persuaded this is Paul. By the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteems anything to be unclean, let it be what?
Unclean.
That is, there are some people that see it as unclean. So let it be unclean. He said, but if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walks therefore charitably, destroy him with thy meat whom Christ has died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. For the right kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. If your brother will be destroyed, if your brother will be offended, or if your brother will fall away because of what you're partaking in, he says, wouldn't you just because of love abstain? He says in verse 17, the 18, for he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. That is, we can use these things to serve Christ. Our liberty with those things, we can restrain from using them because we want to serve Jesus. Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace and things wherefore one may edify who another. Let's take verse 20 together. For meat destroys not the work of God. Let's take it again, come everybody. For meat destroys not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it's evil for that man who eats with offense. Verse 21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Can you see that now? So, who should we consider when we are using things? My brother. My brother. Love restrains us. Now don't forget, conviction is the key. In verse 22, have you faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in things which he allows. And he that doubts is damned if he eats, because he eats not of faith. Whosoever is not of faith, the Bible says, is sin. So stay with your convictions, yes, but caution your convictions with love. Some things I know, but I don't do them, not because they're wrong, but to do them to offend another person will be wrong. And that's the point. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul goes over the same concept. He says, look, as eating things that are offered unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there's none other God but one. We know there's no idol in the world. He said, there's nothing like that. There's no idol. He says in verse 6, well, you know, to us there's God the Father, whom are all things, and Jesus. Look at 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. So because not every man has the knowledge that you're speaking of. Not every man has that knowledge. So what should you do? He says in verse 11. Let's take verse 11 together, 1 Corinthians 8. We've gone through that last week. Verse 11. Let's take that again. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Verse 12. When you sin so against the brethren and wound their conscience, you sin against who? Let's take 13. Let everybody go. Wherefore, if meat makes my brother to sin, I will till lest I make my brother to offend. Can you say amen to that? That's it. So love for the brethren. One. And we shouldn't do anything that will create an offense to the unsaved. 1 Corinthians 10. Verse 29. Don't do anything that will create an offense, sin, or create a stumbling block for the man who is not a Christian. Don't create an offense. Do all you can. Don't use your liberty without love. Without love. But Pastor, they didn't address. I know. Is there any rule book that says didn't address must open your cleavage? No, sir, but that's how I like. I just like to feel free in my dress. Yes, you're free in your dress, but you're not free to offend others. Okay? Pastor! Oh, Pastor! Oh, Pastor! Oh, Pastor! No, it's not me, it's Jesus. You have to love. You have to show love in the things that you use. Most of you say, well, what about if a Christian should listen to music sung by unbelievers? Don't ask me. You listen to music that not sung by Christians? Sung by Christians, pardon me. I said, sure. They're like, which one? National anthem. My school song. My house song in government college. Yeah. There's a song I played in my office one time. Somebody came in and said, the song was about Nigeria. He couldn't say anything. He was just looking at me like, I said, you have a problem with this? No, not really, sir. I'm just surprised, sir. Hypocrite. You leave me and say, do you know that man of God? Hey, one that shall never end. The world is coming to an end. So are you. You know, but I said, look, I judge what I take. If I see a musician, for instance, who doesn't wear clothes, I don't want to stop wearing clothes. Are you with me? I don't want to stop wearing clothes. So why should I? Someone sings and says, I'm going crazy. I won't listen to that kind of song. I don't want to go crazy. Someone talks about sex and I don't want to do that. So I won't listen to that. So what do? Altogether, I do all I can not to listen to anybody who is not a Christian. Doesn't mean that everybody who is a Christian sings songs that glorify God, but at least they don't de-glorify Him. They try not to. So, I just, you know, I don't want to tell you my favorite musician. My favorite musician is not Dumb Way. People have thought it is. No, it's not. My favorite musician is a Christian. But it's not because of these Christian songs. I love to listen to songs that sing about Proverbs. That sing a lot about the sayings of Yoruba. I enrich myself with Proverbs. I like to listen to songs. But I don't listen to songs where you have people that are on drugs. Because it's wrong to be on drugs. Those who teach about sex or a wildlife. And that's the majority of what people listen to. Amen. Praise the Lord. I avoid music sung by non-Christians altogether. Not because non-Christians don't sing good songs, but they sing the best of songs. Yesterday we were watching something on television and then the soundtrack was by from a song. And I told someone, I said, well, this lady sings very well. She sings on 7th octave. She said, yeah. I said, I know. I don't listen to her songs. But I know that she sings very well. Her songs don't make sense. Because when you sing about a human being and you say, you give me strength, you give me life, that's a lie. That's a lie. And this is probably, she's probably in her fourth marriage, so once I gave her strength, the first one, probably took the strength back. Yeah, so, amen. You know, but basically you mustn't listen to songs that don't edify, that don't build you up. Songs that speak against Jesus, against the scriptures, that speak immorality, that speak coarse tongue, coarse language. A Christian cannot be listening to that and say, all things are lawful. No, that has nothing to do with music. Music has to do with words, okay? Words that come into your mind. Bible says you must renew our minds. Romans 12:2. You can't say songs are, but pastor has said all things are lawful. So any kind of music I listen to are lawful. Even if the guy is singing about sex, is lawful. I may just not listen to it because of my brother. Because of yourself. Okay? That's a different ballgame. Today you have so much. You can't even separate the Christian song from an unbeliever because they sound alike. Even the lyrics are the same. So liberty must be used with love. Must be used with what? Now write this down. We must always sacrifice our liberty of things by abstaining from them in love. But sacrifice that liberty we have. Jesus Christ, for instance, came here. And He is God. He was God. John 1:1 tells us he was God. 1 Timothy 3:16, he was God. Philippians 2:5 and 6, he was God. Micah 5:1 and 2, he was God. Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah 9:7, he was God. Sure God. God and God and God. Pre-existent as God. But he came here and became a man. And he sacrificed everything. Sacrificed his liberty. In fact, right in the Garden of Gethsemane, Peter cut off the ears of Malchus and Jesus said to Malchus, If I would have called my father, he would have sent a legion of angels. But if I don't die, you stay dead and you are dead forever. So Jesus did that for you. So abstaining from things that you have liberty to use for the sake of others is not unchristian. In fact, that is the Christian life. Let me see if you agree with me. That is the Christian life. You can do without it. You sure can do without it. Since you can do without it, and the alternatives, why not do without it in love, in sacrifice for others? See, love is our nature. Amen. Say, love is my nature. Say, come on, leave this one here. Say, love is my nature. I'm born of God. Love is my nature. Love is my nature. The nature of the new creation is the nature of love. I'm born in love. The love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 tells me that. Galatians 5:22 tells me that the fruit of my spirit is love. The fruit of my spirit is love. Therefore, I walk in love. Ephesians 5:1 tells me, as a child of God, I should imitate God and walk in love. I walk in love. I am not selfish. I consider others. I consider others. I consider others. And not only myself. I'm born of love. So love is your nature. You consider others. 1 Corinthians 10:24. Paul says, let not everybody seek his own. Let him seek others. Don't seek yourself. Seek others. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. See Paul here. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I want us to read this for you. For instance, if you're a preacher of the gospel, if you're a minister of the gospel. Now, let me say something about that. If you're a member of this community, you know what we say, if you're a minister of the gospel, we're not referring to a class of people. We're only referring to Christians that have grown up or are growing up. Ministry is not a destiny for some group of people. Ministry is for everybody who is growing up in the Lord. For the perfecting of the saints, Ephesians 4:12, for the work of the ministry. All of us are or ought to be ministers of the gospel. So the minute you become responsible, some things are clear. You don't do just about anything. You don't do just about anything. You live your life with honesty or purpose. 1 Corinthians 9:19. Though I be free from all. That's it. Though I be free from all. Yet have I made myself what? Servant unto you all. That I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew. That I might gain the Jews. So them that are under the law as under the law. That I might gain them that are under the law. That are without the law as though without law. Not being without law to God but under the law to Christ. That I might gain them that are without the law. The weak I became as weak. That I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men. That I might by all means save some. For this I do for the gospel's sake. That I might be partakers thereof with you. Are we together on this? Are we together on this? All things to all men. I want to preach the gospel in every nation. I want to preach the gospel to every people. I want to preach the gospel in every tribe. Tongue, culture. I want to be a blessing to lives. I don't want to just be a blessing to myself. Serve my selfish ends. Do what I want. And this is the point. Some people know so much.
and they are not in the ministry preaching the gospel. You know, one brother was saying one time, and I heard him say, there's nothing wrong in alcohol, nothing wrong in taking this, nothing wrong. And I said this, and some people that were listening to that brother, I said, mark their lives. They used to be here in this ministry. I said, mark their lives. They will stop preaching the gospel soon. Because when you're a preacher of the gospel, you don't say, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong. It's not about things, it's about men. The preacher of the gospel is a sacrifice for other people. Jesus said there was nothing wrong and nothing wrong. You never made it into salvation. Laid aside his majesty, his privilege, laid aside all it for love. Love will guide your knowledge of things. I had the liberty to do it, but I would not. To edify others. To bless others. When I was younger, and there's nothing wrong with this, I used to wear like a cold hair style several years back. Bracelets. But I knew the word. And I felt. So in case you came to me and told me, what is all this? I'll just be showing you scripture. Look at this. Is he wrong? And I'll be quoting the Bible to you. But is that the ministry? Why create the stumbling block? When I saw a sister one time go for evangelism, and her earrings were dangling at Potiphar's wife, Pharaoh's wife. I said, "They're looking beautiful, darling. But you know, you could afford. You could have afford and avoid not to wear this for now. Because imagine the kind of distractions you can cause. I just want to look good. I know. I also want to look good. But look best with love. Amen. Love is the umpire for knowledge. Somebody comes to you tomorrow and says, you call yourself a Christian. Well, saved by the blood of Jesus, not by things. You must also not bring that same accusation to others. Then maybe I should also tell you this. If you are a Christian, learn to love others with knowledge.